Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
Mark Phillips sent me a note. Mark Phillips is a good friend of mine from England, and he often sends me stories. He said, Steve, just see this one about the witches. And this is a fascinating story to me. I'm a historian. I've written about 15 books, most of them of history. And I love American history in particular. And so, obviously, not all of our history is glorious victories where everything went right and then the end. No. Occasionally, there are things that happened in our history that you look at and go, really? And so, this is actually a good story. The Daily Mail reported it, but I've seen it elsewhere. Connecticut lawmakers have decided to absolve 12 women and men convicted of witchcraft, 11 of whom were executed more than 370 years ago, and they've also apologized for the miscarriage of justice. Now, not everyone's happy about this for some odd reason, but you may know that we had a history long ago where occasionally there'd be these scares that would go around. And in a community, they go, we've discovered there's a bunch of witches here. And as a result of that, they put people on trial for witchcraft or other associated things. And some people were found guilty. And back then, that was a capital offense to be a witch, especially if you'd done something like turn somebody into a newt. And so as a result of that, people were actually executed. And now we look back on that and go, oh, wow, those were like the dark ages. That's crazy. But the real problem is, we know now that obviously those people weren't guilty of being witches. And as we have in other situations, even if someone's passed away, if they have this thing on their record that we know is completely wrong, we will sometimes go back and fix that. And so I salute the Connecticut lawmakers who did this, except for the one guy who didn't like it, but we'll get to that. But the Connecticut State Senate voted Thursday to absolve a dozen women and men who were convicted of witchcraft over 370 years ago. And they've now apologized to the family members who are still around for a miscarriage of justice. Of course, these are descendants. These aren't like the brothers and sisters of these people. At least 11 of them were executed during a 15-year period of Connecticut's early history as a colony. The vote was 33-1. There was actually somebody against this. We'll get there. But the vote was in favor of a resolution that officially proclaimed the innocence of these people. It marked the culmination of years of effort by a group called the Connecticut Witch Trial Exoneration Project, made up of history buffs and descendants of the deceased witches. Some of the descendants recently learned through genealogy testing that they were related to the accused witches and have since lobbied the state's General Assembly to officially clear their names. People can say we're wasting our time this afternoon. Maybe we could be doing other things, says Senator John Kissel. But I think it's a small step to acknowledge our history and move forward together. The resolution lists the 9 women and 2 men who were executed and the 1 woman who was convicted but given a reprieve. And that had already passed the House of Representatives by a vote of 121 to 30. So there's 30 people in the House and 1 person in the Senate who said, no, let the convictions stand. Because it's a resolution, it does not require the governor's signature. Senator Castellone, no vote on Thursday, said, it was wrong and childlike to suggest somehow we have a right to dictate what was right or wrong about periods in the past that we have no knowledge of. We have no knowledge of this. Now, I'm not quite sure if they don't teach history in Connecticut, but we do have knowledge of our past. As a historian, that's what I write books about. So if you said, Steve, can you tell me about the guy Douglas Houghton? They wrote, that they named all those things after. There's a town called Houghton, a lake called Houghton, the Douglas Houghton Falls. Who is that guy? Well, you know, we have no knowledge of that. He lived so long ago. No, we know all kinds of stuff about him, but you got to dig for it unless someone writes a book on it, which I did. So I suspect that we have knowledge of what happened to these people who were accused of witchcraft 370 years ago in Connecticut. We have knowledge of that. And what's bizarre about that statement, he says, it's childlike to suggest we have a right to dictate what was right or wrong about periods in the past that we have no knowledge of. I've heard people say that we cannot judge people for living in the times in which they lived. And if you look at certain periods of history, for instance, let's go back to 400 or 500 years ago, okay? And I'm purposely being vague here because otherwise people want to argue the facts with me, but I'm trying to give you an example. Go back hundreds of years, and the Black Plague is sweeping Europe. And no one really knows at that time what causes this to happen. And so they did all kinds of things back then, thinking that they might be a good way to combat this plague that's wiping out huge numbers of our population. So when you look back at the things they did now, you go, oh, well, we know what causes it, and we know the whole way that it's transmitted, and we know, you know, where it exists, and so on and so forth. We know this stuff now. They did not know that back then. They did not know that back then, okay? So can you say, oh, they were wrong for how they reacted to this thing they did not understand? And I would look at that and say, well, I'll give them a little more of a pass on that because they couldn't possibly know yet because the diseases hadn't been as well understood and would be for quite some time. Now, I suppose you could say, but Steve, 370 years ago, they actually did believe in witches. Okay. Number one, not everyone did. Not everyone did. But number two, it's not that we don't have knowledge of what happened. We know what happened. It's just a question of, was it right for people to be convicted of witchcraft? And so we're talking about a simple legal issue here. And so if someone is convicted of something and you later find out that they did not do what they're accused of, you can overturn the conviction, set it aside, or do something like this. So the question I ask of this man, who is a senator, who says it's childlike to suggest we have a right to dictate what was right or wrong, do you believe those people were actually witches? I'm being serious here. Do you believe they were actually witches? And if you say yes, then this conversation is done, I guess. But if you say no, I don't believe in witches. Okay, if you don't believe in witches now, do you think witches existed back then? Or did they stop existing 360 years ago? Because if witches didn't exist back then, we know these people here were not guilty of being witches. That's a simple matter. And so we're not saying that we're going to condemn the people who did this. They're saying we're going to absolve the people who are convicted of it. And so I understand the point that you can't go back and rejudge every single action in history. But that's not what we're doing here. We're saying there were 12 people convicted of witchcraft, 11 of whom were executed. And we now know that what they were charged with is actually something that's not possible. It's not real. It's not true. Okay? So he said, I don't want to see bills that rightfully or wrongfully attempt to paint America as a bad place with a bad history. Well, that's actually a real strange thing to say because, number one, I don't want to see bills that rightfully or wrongfully. Rightfully? Because you understand, we do have to remember our past, whether or not it's painful. And I have news for you. Not all history is pretty. But we're better off remembering it. And the second you say, oh no, we want to forget that. We don't want to teach that. We don't want anybody to learn this. We want this to be forgotten. There's a famous saying, those who ignore the past are destined to repeat it. And one of the most powerful things you can do to make sure that people don't screw up is to show them how other people have screwed up and how it cost them, and you can learn from their mistakes. And there's also some other famous sayings about how a smart man learns from other people's mistakes. And so the people in the past made mistakes, study them, learn about them. Don't do it to trash the country, but learn about it so we understand how we got where we are today. And so every story I've ever written a book about has had some things in it where I look at it and go, wow, I wish that hadn't happened, but it happened. So I write a book about it. I put it in the story. So he said, I want us to focus on where we're going, which is a brighter and better future. And I don't want to see anyone to try and put a stain on the country that I love. Again, I appreciate the sentiment, and I don't think anybody should be trashing America just for the sake of trashing it. But if there's anything in our past that we have issues with, we should study them so that we can avoid repeating them. Advocates of the resolution argued it's important to raise public awareness about the witch trials because the ones in Connecticut occurred decades before the famous ones in Salem, Massachusetts. It's important to right the wrongs of the past so we learn from them and move on and not repeat those mistakes, says Joshua Hutchinson of Arizona, who traced his ancestry to accused witches in Salem and is the host of a podcast. Meanwhile, a senator who advocated for the resolution said lawmakers heard testimony during the public hearing process about witch trials still happening around the world, believe it or not, including in African countries, and the need to draw attention to the problem. It's relevant even to this time as well. Alice Young, who was killed at the gallows in Connecticut, was the first person on record to be executed in the American colonies for witchcraft. The Windsor town clerk registered her death on May 26, 1647, in a diary entry that simply said, Alice Young was hanged. The courts in the early British colonies of Connecticut and New Haven ultimately indicted at least 34 women and men for the crimes of witchcraft and familiarities with the devil. Other states and countries have attempted to atone for a history of persecuting people as witches. For example, Scotland. Their prime minister issued a formal apology to the estimated 4,000 people, mostly women, who were accused of witchcraft up until 1736. Of the 4,000, about 2,500 were executed. A Scottish member of parliament last year called for pardoning them all posthumously. In 2022, Massachusetts lawmakers formally exonerated Elizabeth Johnson, who was convicted of witchcraft in 1693 and sentenced to death at the height of the Salem witch trials. Johnson is believed to be the last accused Salem witch to have her conviction set aside by legislators. And I don't even like the way this sentence is written, because it should say she's believed to be the last person accused of witchcraft. Many historians believe that fear and anxiety among the religiously strict English settlers led to witch trials, noting how difficult life was at the time given epidemics, floods, cold winters, and starvation. And often accusations started as a quarrel, or the death of a child, or a cow, or even butter that wouldn't churn. My butter won't churn. Somebody needs to pay for this. Many of the people executed as witches were poor single mothers. And that's actually something they've studied. And again, we study this stuff so we don't forget it. But many of the accused witches were what they call spinsters. And a spinster, if you look it up, and I did to make sure this isn't politically incorrect or something, but a spinster is a reference to an older woman who is considered to be beyond the norm of the society as a likely marriage candidate. So quite often a spinster might be a widow or an older woman, but with no husband and often living alone. And they were often accused of being witches. And people wonder what the connection is, why that would be. And of course, one of the reasons is likely that no one could vouch for them. No one would stand up and say, oh no, she's not a witch, because who is going to vouch for her? Especially once you accuse somebody of witchcraft, if you dare stand up for them, then they might go, well, you're obviously in cahoots with her, so you must be a witch also. So I don't think that these things to be talked about hurt our country. I think it's better that we talk about them and understand that this is a long, long time ago, and we've come a long, long way since then. And so simply talking about it and remembering it is not bad. And exonerating those who were wrongfully convicted and executed for it, I think it's the least we can do. But like I said, I'm not saying we have to go out and find out who the prosecutors were and who the witnesses were and judge them and convict them today. No, I'm simply saying these people were wrongfully convicted. The convictions need to be addressed. And so I'm glad they did this. So Connecticut's done the right thing and absolved 12 people convicted of witchcraft, 11 of whom were executed. And remember, the resolution was not unanimous. 31 people in total in the legislature in Connecticut voted against this. So there you go. But remember, famously, she turned me into a newt. And if you go to Google and type in, she turned me, it autofills in into a newt. Mark Phillip, thanks for sending it. Daily Mail published it. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. Two most important days of your life, the day you were born and the day you realize why.